don't know if I really love this decision.
Over the middle, got his man, and look at him go! Jalen Waddle for the touchdown!
Welcome to Inside Leverage, your gateway to the fascinating realm of the Miami Dolphins. Join us as we delve deep into the team's dynamic Super Bowl journey. We invite you to share your most scorching takes, unwind, and relish in our captivating experience.
Tua Tagovailoa, blocked by Armstead. Going, he's got him! He's got him! Tyreek Hill! And the Dolphins have come back!
A big play on the first one! Home run! Play one! To the house! What a start for the Dolphins!
Well, Omar, man, appreciate you for coming through, man. Thank you again. It's a little bit exciting for me because I followed you for a long time. Some things I agreed with 100%, some things I don't. But I think that's just how it is, you know what I'm saying? We all not going to always see eye to eye, but respect what you do, man. Appreciate you for coming by to Inside Leverage Show on Playback. Usually with this platform, they do a lot of whole videos where you can kind of showcase highlights and stuff like that, maybe break down film. So it's a different perspective than Twitter and you know, other platforms. You know what I'm saying? So
it's a pleasure to be with you, brothers. My opinions are not the gospel. They're just my opinions. And I don't expect nor want everybody to agree with me all the time. All I want you to do is give it some thought process, because a lot of times some people will say things to me that I didn't know or don't necessarily agree with, and I have to do my research, and my opinion changes from time to time as well. A lot of people don't know this. This is the first time I'll say this. Yeah, everybody knows I labeled it the Kapocalypse because I kind of predicted last offseason exactly what was going to happen. Like, yo, you can't afford the team you got now. You're going to take some L's. And that exact thought process was brought to me by somebody on Twitter. They said something about, hey, we're heading into a cap crisis. And I was like, cap crisis? What you talking about? Like, they usually manage their books relatively well. Then I was like, you know what? Let me go look at this and see what they're talking about. And then I started looking at it and started looking at it and started looking at it. I was like, holy crap. Like, this team is set up to basically, you know, a balloon that's about to burst because they can't afford to pay all their players. And no disrespect to Christian, no disrespect to Rob. Hell, no disrespect to Brandon Jones. Get your money. I fully support everybody getting their money. And I love Rob. Love, love, love Rob. Rob is my favorite player. Like, Rob, me and him, we down. Like full flat tires, but I'm not paying Rob $100 million.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
Listen, and I support him. I know him. I know the GM, so I know Dan Morgan knows what he's doing. But $100 million to a right guard, like, word. I know it's not really $100 million. It's really like 45.
Right.
But 45, 15 a year for 3 years to right guard? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to cheer for the Carolina Panthers because I like Rob. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not paying that. That's not fiscally responsible. Neither is Christian Wilkins. I'm sorry. Christian Wilkins is not the second highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL.
Thank you. Thank you.
When I said it, I was almost kicked out the group.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
Omar. Well, let's start things off here, man. What are you currently doing? You know, you've been a columnist for a long time. Now you're doing SI, doing podcasts with Alan Poupart. What are you currently doing right now, just to kind of kick off?
I work as a columnist, writer, editor for what was alldolphins.com. out of, you know, it's presently being involved in a split, a hostile takeover. We've decided to go with the SI side instead of staying with the another group. So we'll probably have to change the name from All Dolphins, but we're still affiliated with SI. That's a free site where you can find all the content, all the stories, all the columns. And, you know, Alan writes about 5 stories a day. I generally try to write 1 column. Today I wrote a column about Ding Dong, the big bad Buffalo Bills, they're dead. I'm sorry, and I love Josh Allen, but you know who made Josh Allen? Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen till Stephon Diggs got there. Now, Curtis Samuels, Mac Hollins.
Who that?
Nah.
Who that?
Yeah. Khalil Shakir. Like, nah. Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, the 2 quarterbacks everybody loves, they going to have some challenges because they don't have no weapons.
So then let me ask you this before you, because I love that we segue to this. Do you feel, what are you thinking the current state of the AFC East, and do you feel this gives us a greater chance? I don't know if you feel like we're not yet done with the offseason. There's plenty of holes to fill, but do you feel like it's an opportunity to take advantage now that Josh Allen's number one receiver is gone?
It's not just the number one receiver. It's Mitch Morse. It's the safeties. It's the linebackers. It's, you know, they took and understand that they took the same approach that Miami did, where they were all in and then they got capped out. And so they had to purge. When you cap yourself out, you have to reset the roster. Now, I don't think Diggs was a reset situation. Diggs was just not happy. And I've known that for over a year because of my work with I Am Athletes. He done with Buffalo. He did his time last year, and then they found a way. There's certain players, particularly diva receivers, where when they not happy, you're not gonna be happy. It's like a wife. Like, if they not happy, you definitely not gonna be happy. So you best to move on. And so Buffalo, I think they could have gotten more, but it is what it is, player. Like, you can't stay with a woman that don't want to be with you. You just continue to invest in foolishness. Like, so it's best to move on and reset. So they're in a reset, but so are the Dolphins. I know the Dolphins are approaching a reset. They are going to, when you start digging into their books, and this is something I'm going to write that I haven't exactly written. When you start digging into their books, they got like 3 players with guaranteed money in 2025. That's it. Everybody up or option year. So you could just reset the whole thing. Now, I don't think they're going to do that unless they start losing and produce an 8-win season. Then they might reset it. But they're positioning themselves. Like, if you look at all the contracts – I believe that they just signed. I believe that Jordan Brooks is the only one who's got guaranteed money in 2025. Everybody's a stopgap player. So this is not an all-in situation, but this is a let's see where we are. And depending on how we do, we might pivot.
Like a heat check. It's a heat check. It's
hold on.
I like that.
It's a heat check. Now that we heat checking. Omar, I'm coming from the free throw line with the heat check. You know when they shoot that.
Hold on, I lost them.
Oh, Mint Mobile, man.
You got it. Hold on. Hey, you got to fight through the screen, Omar. You got to fight through the screen, ready? Hey, heat check. So let's talk about it really quick. With this move with Diggs going to Houston, is this an opportunity for the Dolphins? When I look at the totality of things, the end of the Brady era, we as a part
question.
Of that.
Ask the question.
Let me set it up. You're treating me like Zach Saylor. Listen, what I'm trying to say is, when you look at the totality of things, is this an opportunity? Because in my mind, the Bills have another 2 to 3 years with this Josh Allen project, because you look at where they're heading with these younger quarterbacks coming into the league. and made this philosophy. I was kicked out of the Twitter spaces when I said Diggs could be traded. They're going to tell me I'm casting a wide net. But could we be seeing the end of things still?
Once you have an elite quarterback, you ain't letting that go. You ain't letting that go. And you contractually got him locked up. So they've contractually got him locked up. I think he who has the best quarterback sits in the driver's seat for the division. That would be Buffalo. We don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going to be coming back.
Right now?
Yeah.
Josh Allen's better than Tua without Diggs right now?
Bro, Josh Allen is still your daddy. He was your daddy. He was your daddy before Diggs.
I gotta be aggressive with the hot. Listen, Omar, without Stephon Diggs, and you got Tua with a Tyreek and a Waddle.
Look at Josh Allen's numbers his first year when he owned your ass. The first year without Stephon Diggs. He ain't never been not hot playing Miami. Never. No.
You got to beat the beast, you tame the beast.
What? Your first victory over him was a pass dropped in the end zone, dropped by Charles Clay, that gave you a win. It wasn't his fault.
I remember it like yesterday, yeah.
That's the new one. Go ahead.
And then 2022.
What was that play in the side?
That dribble, that dribbler ball and them claiming that that the heat and humidity got them, and they ran out of gas at the end. Okay, but Josh Allen been your daddy for a long while. Your mama, he been paying child support. Your mama can't stop visitation.
Listen, if we would have beat them once last season, I would have been like, all right, maybe. Like, you would have beat them. I get it. But to then, I mean, yeah, it's Buffalo till we beat them. You can't really say no to that. You can't make a case against that. They still beat us twice. And it was different. It was those games. It was an ass whooping. Nah.
Nobody did you like Buffalo. Who did you like Buffalo last year? Like, Buffalo pimp slapped you. Like, not the final game, but the first game. They were sitting there acting like they were sitting there like, yeah, we about to get in there, So
Baltimore too.
Oh yeah, Baltimore. But that's Baltimore.
That's like, a get back game. That was a circle game for them. Like, they were waiting for us for that game. Yeah.
They wasn't thinking about y'all. They wasn't thinking about the Dolphins. They was taking care of business. They was trying to position themselves for the Super Bowl. They wasn't thinking about no back fourth quarter loss back then. They was in that man locked up MVP, the number one seed, the division in that game. He wasn't thinking about no revenge.
Mm-mm. They beat us more times than we beat them the last two, well, the previous last two, but they've been beating us way before.
I got bigger beef for the Ravens than with the Bills.
But hold on. Let me take a page out of the Miami Heat book. When you got gentlemen swept against the Bucks, and what you just did last year, and when you had to play in, and you had to go see them boys. This season we got to sweep them boys. I ain't talking no split. Omar.
You talking like a fan, bro? To you ain't sweeping nothing in Buffalo. You ever been to Buffalo? Wait till that schedule come out. Because if that schedule say at Buffalo in December. It's a wrap. It's a done deal. You forget it. You can forget it.
Oh, Omar, I'm going to bookmark this conversation and we're going to revisit it, brother. we might have to put a bottle of tequila on it.
Let me see what the schedule say. Because if the schedule say Buffalo in December, forget about it.
But it shouldn't matter. What you just said, when you're an elite quarterback, when you come in, and wouldn't that honestly
do who you an elite quarterback?
I know two in the league quarterback. You're not going to act like my quarterback that just led the league in passing.
I love him. But he not elite.
Oh, no.
What is he proving? Where is he proving he's elite? I love him. I love him. But you know what elite do? They say everybody get on the back. Josh Allen do it. Patrick Mahomes do it. Lamar do it. Aaron Rodgers do it. Who else elite? Joe Burrow do it. When Tua did it.
Well, Omar, can we say this then? If he had more of a stable regime, stable offense, and you know, because those guys, even Burrow, even though they came out the same year, Burrow had the same stable coach, a same stable system, and a guy that believed him. If that was the case for Tua, could we say that he can possibly take that next step?
No. I think he can take that next step, but I'm not blaming anything on the coaching staff. I was with Cincinnati's head coach. He coached Ryan Tannehill. That dude ain't special. He ain't Mike McDaniel. I'm sorry. He not. What he got is Jamar Chase and a good little squad. He not that dude. He not that coach. I can't remember that dude's name. What is his name?
Zach Taylor.
Yeah. I covered Zach Taylor for how many years? Ain't nothing special about that man.
Let's go back to that. To me, is what you remember the years you have. Hey, Chad, you got to meet up, Chad. Okay, Chad, you have a crazy back, feedback, bro.
Sorry.
Just mute up.
Going
back to to Ryan Tannehill, you mentioned the unicorn line. To me, Tua. You can't say yes or no until you give him that. You give him the unicorn. He was playing elite levels to Connor Williams went down, and down that it took a dip. To me, Connor Williams was the biggest dog in his whole locker room. So once you like offensively dog and that on the offensive line.
I think Raheem is a dog. I think Tyreek is a dog. I thought Colin Williams was by far the best offensive lineman last year.
Well, I think what he's saying is more like the motor. When you get Connor with that motor on like he's mauling dudes forward. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
When we had that guard center guard combo, Omar, let's not forget the ESPN and the takes of the eye manipulation. Let's not forget the Twitter conversation that Tua's playing so at a high level. He's making the offensive line look so good, but they're not really that good. And it's the drop off. We were having a whole bunch of conversations when he had that guard center guard combo. It was top five.
So, but, and I hear what you're saying. But he wasn't still beating those elite teams. He wasn't still beating Kansas City. He wasn't still beating Philadelphia. And I believe the offensive line was stabilized at that point. I can't really remember their guys in and out. I don't think if your quarterback needs a perfect offensive line situation to be elite or to be clutch, then he's not elite. Would I love it? Yeah. But – they were the number one rushing team. And people want to discredit what the offensive line achieved last year. And, yeah, I know the interior was not that great after injuries. And that's what people don't factor in. Tua was dealing with some adverse situations and still making it happen. And I give him credit for that. Not a lot of people do. But if you need a perfect offensive line, that quarterback ain't perfect.
But don't they make those same excuses for Joe Burrow?
No, Joe Burrow, this offensive line has been an issue for Joe Burrow every single year of his career, but he still took a team to the Super Bowl.
But look at the weapons he had on that team, healthy.
Tua has weapons too. Tua's got. Name me a team that's got more weapons than Tua.
I see both where Joe Burrow had three options essentially, and I think that's another step we got to take with Tua because. You got Jonnu, who could be an option. And then I was listening to your podcast. You said something about having a third option at receiver, Leggett. That's a guy that we all love, too. I don't know how you feel about Brian Thomas. He's a guy that can be a third option that could eventually
– what school is he from?
LSU.
LSU. Brian Thomas Jr. Yeah. Like, those are options that maybe if we can – I'm glad it got the tight end to help with that. I don't know if you agree or disagree. They might consider another tight end in the draft, but yeah, exactly.
But I do think that overkill. Another
they got right now, they got probably four they like. So
yeah,
they wouldn't have signed the Jody Fortson kid if they thought they could go tight end in the draft.
And, exactly.
They really do like Julian Hill a lot. So I'm surprised that they did what they did, but I think they also view Fortson as potentially a wide receiver. Like
essentially
a flex weapon. But getting back to the point, like, this is a year, no excuses. There shouldn't be any excuses for Tua. Like, comfort in the offense. While I think the offensive line isn't finished, I think the fact that you signed Kendall Lamb takes it to another level, because I'm a big Kendall Lamb fan. Like, Teron is down, I'm good. Because Kendall Lamb, I'm surprised other teams didn't try to sign him as a starter, because he played, but then he's a 10-year veteran. But I'm sorry, look how bad offensive line play has been in the NFL all these years, for all these years. Like, I think they're missing probably one more piece on the offensive line, but I think it's good enough. And weapons-wise, tell me what team has more weapons than Tua. Tell me what team has two backs and two receivers like Tua. What, name them. Yeah, could he use a third weapon? Absolutely. I mean, another weapon in the passing game? Absolutely. But that could be Jonnu Smith. I would take his offense over it. Name me a team that you would take their offense over.
I mean that's fair with this season. It's a no excuse season. I'm all about that trench warfare and getting it done. And more than anything, I'm on the mindset and mentality with this team, because, you know, yeah, we got the Lambos, and yeah, we got the dogs, but in December and January, you got to put that ski mask on to go up north. Or, like we've been saying on the show and we've been saying on the pod, you win a division, you win the AFC and make the division make the AFC come through Miami.
That's what it's up for. Yeah.
That's the recipe for
you win Tennessee, everything comes through you.
Facts.
But and that's, I'm not knocking them, because every team drops the ball at some point in the season. They dropped the ball at a very critical time.
Terrible time. It's the worst time. Yeah.
But why is it always that timing? It feels like it's always like that with us.
It's just us, man. It is what it is. It's just us.
But we talked about it on the show. It's a mindset and a mentality. It's like playing a video game. You're going to get to that point every year, and you got to mentally get over the hump. But right. One of the things I always say about us mentally getting over the hump is the fans got to mentally get over the hump too. We can't be with this, oh, Josh Allen is our dad. You gotta do something different too if you want the team to do something different. We had some of the other guys on the show.
You can't undo two decades of trauma though. what they call it, battered wife syndrome.
We beat the brakes out of the Patriots we won the Super Bowl. We can't beat the Bills. It is wild to me. It makes no damn sense.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize this, but Miami beat Tom Brady more than any other team in the NFL. Like, they never had problems. They split that series every year. But you cannot beat the Bills. And that's been going back before Josh Allen. Like, Tyrod Taylor done won, got in final games for the playoff spot. Tyrod Taylor done gotten that ass.
Now hold on. Now, when we go to the Tyrods and the EJ Manuels, those were always splits, They won,
but they won the big game when they needed it.
And listen, you could take it back to Lee Evans. We beat them in the first time. We had 200 or something yards, and then we had to go to the Colt. They beat the brakes out of us. When we thought Eric Moses was, bro, stop! I remember
when you go to Buffalo, and I hate Buffalo, and I don't go to Buffalo.
It happens all the time.
I'm going this year, Omar.
Don't do it to yourself.
Let's pivot, man. Omar, we smoothly talked about the draft. Yeah, I remember you used to talk about your crushes, your man crushes. Who are some of those guys that you're looking for that we might even draft this time?
I am not there yet in draft work, and I'm really behind in draft work. I'm just getting to – I wait to do the draft process after I know what their needs are. Because let's say I studied centers in this draft, and then they signed Brewer. Like, I just wasted time. let's say I'm studying inside linebackers, and they signed Jordan and this other dude, Thomas. I don't waste the time. So I'm just beginning that process. And honestly, the first position I started with was wide receiver. I do have some of those guys that I really like. I generally know them by school and number before I learn their name. I know I like the LSU kid. Give me one second. Let me get some of the work. That's what I'm doing right now. The Xavier Leggett, love him. Would spend a first round pick on him. Now, I don't know about 21, but that would be my first round pick.
He gives me Chris Chambers vibes. He a country dude. He just a straight old country that just want to play.
And that's the thing. I don't know him personality wise. I just know the ability. But yeah, and I haven't met any of those dudes like the Xavier Worthy kid. No, not for me. Not for this team. He might be successful everywhere else, but I'm good. I don't need. That's not what this team needs. And I say this, and I don't think people understand it. This team needs a Jarvis Landry.
A dog.
I'm not saying you need Jarvis Landry, but you need a Jarvis Landry.
Who is that guy?
Javon Baker. Look at Javon Baker and McCorkey, the kid from Western Kentucky.
Jordan said? That was a guy that can do the – that's not fast, but he has the fastest time slants.
The Western Kentucky kid.
Corkley. Okay. I have not seen it yet. I have not seen him yet. So
he nice, and he a dog. He's a dog. He's the guy. He's the guy that showed the – he has the – the highlight that he didn't even catch the ball, but he trucked the free safety. That's the kid. He's a dog.
You were talking about that too, Omar. You said we don't need speed, we need dogs in that third option. So
it's not even just that receiver. This team needs dogs.
Yeah.
They need alpha males. When the heat ratchets up and the Chiefs, you trailing against the Chiefs, and you trailing against Tennessee, and you trailing against the Philadelphia Eagles, and you getting the brakes beaten off you against Buffalo. You need somebody who's gonna grab them nuts. You need dogs. You need Christian Wilkins, and this team it got a lot of talented players. Where are the dogs? And you need people who are gonna bark and bite. And That's the one thing that's missing from this team, and that's why they need it on offense and they need it on defense. Like, a lot of nice players. Where the dogs?
Let me ask you this: What do you think about a Calais Campbell?
Yeah, I thought about that. I've known Calais since he was a junior playing basketball in high school.
Shake the fist, Omar. Bring him home.
Yeah, I'm totally in support of that. I don't know if he wants to continue play. I'm sure he does because Calais is. I'm gonna reach out and figure out what the situation is. Yeah. It is a perfect fit and would address what you got going on here.
I said put Calais Campbell next to Zach Sealer. He give you the same production.
You know when we drafted Roquan Davis, I really thought I was gonna be the guy, but hey, that was just me.
I like Raekwon, and Raekwon has gotten better, and people don't realize this, but he has redefined his body. He's changed. He's a changed man. He's so slim. I don't know if he's a nose tackle anymore, but I think if you didn't have Zach Sealer and you didn't have Christian Wilkins, you would have saw more from him, and you would have been impressed with his production and play. But you had two animals out there. And those were eating up every snap animals. So you didn't need a rotation. Now, with what they did, where they just signed six Jags, let's see what happens. Calais ain't going to be cheap. Calais probably ain't going to work for less than $5 million.
I'll give him a little 6.5, little six.
Yeah, probably. I got to look at what he made last year. Calais, once you, what the one thing I've learned about NFL players is once you get to a certain level and you're not playing for the money, you're either playing for a title or you're playing because you love the game. Calais is playing because he loves the game, but he's not about to be playing for free now. So, and he's made, I'm sure Calais has made over $100 million.
But
of course.
And Omar, let's talk about this really quick. What you talk about winning. Look at what this season did for the Dolphins and just kind of the aura for the city. Winning with some of these guys, like we talk about the Heat winning and the city feel good. When the Dolphin win, the city feel different. Everything moves a little different. Crime's down in the city. The Dolphins, if we go to the Herald, their articles to prove what I'm saying.
Ain't nobody not committing crime because the Dolphins.
I'm just saying,
goons gonna get you because goons ain't watching no football.
Listen, Omar, they had Twitter spaces with us instead of hitting. I'm just saying they occupy. We keeping them off the streets. But I just say with winning and this team really making that step, especially with what's going on in the division right now, we're in a prime opportunity to really redefine our legacy for the next generation of Dolphin fans and what we got going on. So what do you think that kind of pans out to?
I mean, even if you win the AFC East, can you beat Kansas City? Nope.
I mean, we've looked good.
Can you beat Baltimore? No. And I mean, I hate to be that guy, but think about it. Just look at it. Look at it. You beat Baltimore previously, but can you really with a Derrick Henry? Can you really look at this team and say, yeah, they better than Baltimore, or yeah, they better than Kansas City?
Well, Omar, there's so much that I want to say because I feel like now we have a little more dogs in this defense, the linebackers particularly. I think David Long is a dog. I think that dog. I think Brooks got that dog in him. So here's what I'm gonna ask you as a last question, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, and we really appreciate you coming through and chopping up with us. What do you think we need to do in this draft and the last wave of free agency to feel comfortable? Say, yeah, I can see this. This is gonna be a good season. We're gonna. Those are dogs we just acquired. What do you think we need to do?
You said it. Add dogs.
Yeah, more dogs.
Add more dogs.
Add more dogs.
The thing is, dogs are not easy players to coach. Like, you know why Jarvis Landry is working right now? Because he's an old dog. And people don't know what he's going to do. They don't know if he's going to bite somebody. Jarvis can play. People just don't want to deal with him because they know he might bite you. Well, if you're scared of people biting you, you're not the right coach for me. And I personally do not feel like Mike McDaniels is scared of dogs. If he was, why would they be going after Odell Beckham? Why would they be chasing after trading for Claypool? I don't think he's scared of dogs. What I think they're worried about is maybe messing up the dynamic and chemistry of the locker room. But then if that's the case, then add quality veterans like a Calais Campbell that you know can corral it, contain it, make sure they manage it. That's what Teron's there for. That's what Raheem Mostert's there for. I can't really say.
Jordan Poirier's a guy too, yeah. I think.
Jordan Poirier's a dog. So
he's a leader.
Yeah. Yeah,
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
I just say that as far as like
he's just God given athletic. So
he's a gifted athlete.
Yeah, you can't even question whether he's a dog or not. He's just gifted, dude.
Will he step up as a leader? I don't know. He's a businessman, and that's no judgment. I respect the businessman in the end of it. Like Xavier Howard, love Xavier. He ain't no leader. He's a businessman. And I don't fault nobody for handling their business because you know how the NFL is. When it's time for them to do their business, they do their business.
Right.
But you got it. Like, for me right now, tell me who's going to talk to Tyreek. tell me who's going to say, Tyreek, get your shit together. Just like get your house in order. Who is going to do that? Name that player. And if you don't have anybody, then you need to add them.
Hey, you can't Tua. Even say shit. You gonna say you go what Tua?
Mostert. I'm thinking Mostert, maybe Tua. I know.
Hey, Tua gonna do it.
Perron Armstead.
Tua ain't gonna do it. So, like, and that's my thing. You need the two dynamics. You need dogs and you need leaders, and that's what's gonna help create that synergy as a team that can and help. That can get, and obviously they need an infusion of young players into this team as well.
Right.
Because they ain't got nothing. The coverage is bare. It ain't nothing back there. Like y'all in now, and if things go left, y'all bad. You're like you bottoming out.
Right.
You ain't got no talent back there. So I'm curious to see what they do with the draft and how they handle that, and whether they go and they get trade down and pick up multiple picks, because I'm of the opinion that they need about six prospects that they could develop, not Channing Tindalls. And I don't know if you're going to get that with this draft class, where you got two picks and then you waiting for the leftovers after the draft over.
With a stat class. Three.
Yeah, so you gotta get at least 3 to 4 picks in the top 100 to at least get something.
No, you don't have to do nothing, but because – Sometimes with this organization, they got undrafted players who play better than draft picks. So you never know. Just do your job of finding talent, and then I would say kill the undrafted class. Clean up, because Steve Ross ain't scared to write checks. It'd be $100,000 for you. Just keep clean up. So.
Well, Omar, man. Yes, sir. Appreciate you for coming through, man. Really appreciate you. Again, we were excited to hear that you were coming through, chop it up with us, man. Thank you for your thoughts, man. Anything's coming up that you want to put out there, or you want to kind of wait till later?
I'm doing the Joe Rose Show Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. That's pretty much it. I take things day by day, so.
Yeah,
I'm just staying alive right now in this era of my life.
That's all you gotta do, my friend. That's all you gotta do.
Hey, appreciate you, Omar.
All right, fellas. All right, appreciate you guys. Holla at
you. All right, man. All right. Sure.